Well, I do agree completely with what Reverend Kingsley said, but I do also add in there, you know that I'm preaching, so you can be assured that you will get out early today. I can promise you that. But with that being said, let's dive into the scripture. Luke 1, 31 through 33. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give you him, will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end. This is the word of God for the people of God. Excuse me. So can we all agree that this time between Christmas and New Year's is just really, really awkward? No matter the situation, everything just kind of feels off. Even this morning coming in felt a little off. That might be because I got caught in the snowstorm in Kalamazoo on my way home last night, so didn't really get in till 1 o'clock this morning. But everything just kind of feels a little off. You've opened up all of your Christmas gifts. Well, all besides that one last Christmas party that's 2 weeks from now, as to not add to the stress of Christmas. Not really sure. Is that a post-2017 Christmas, or is it more of a pre-2018? We try to eat healthier. I'm failing at that one during this season, but we try to eat healthier by swearing off the desserts. I've finished off the last of the peanut brittle, but yet I return to work to find a whole new platter of other yummy desserts that somebody else brought in because they couldn't say no to those amazing desserts themselves. Yeah, there's the ever-present idea. When do I take down the Christmas tree? When do I take down the Christmas lights on the house? You hear more and more people saying during this time of season, I love my family, but I won't say that I heard that a lot yesterday or even thought that. The long lines at the stores have shifted from the checkout line to the return line. This season is so odd and so weird. For some, it's a lot of fun, but for others, it's rather difficult. I learned working in a church that this season, this time between Christmas and New Year's, there's a huge spike in depression and anxiety. For many of us, we try to turn to something for help. One of those things is the New Year's resolution. The promise that this year, it's going to be different. This year, everything will be better. This year, I promise life will be great. I'm sure of it. I think, I hope. Never mind, I give up. So I'm left pondering this thought, and if you will ponder it with me. If you were to come face to face with your past New Year's resolutions, what would that say about us? For instance, I'm going to hand you a piece of paper. Not really, but I'm going to hand you a piece of paper with the year and the promise that you made. What would your reaction be? That this year, you know, I'm going to lose that weight. This year, I'm going to read the Bible more. This year, I won't let the things from my past define who I am. No matter how much you want to be better. As a child, I loved the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. The six-year-old Calvin and his stuffed tiger Hobbes, who came to life in his imaginary head. In one of these comics, Hobbes asks Calvin if he has any New Year's resolutions. Calvin quickly responds, "Resolutions? Me? Just what are you implying? That I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am." I wish I had that self-confidence. But I do think it is really important to be self-reflective, not just during this time, but also in all seasons of life. What would our past failures look like? What would they tell us about us? What would the successes tell about us? We need to find a happy medium between that person that beats themselves up over and over for all their failures and being like Calvin and just thinking, I'm perfect in every way. So the verses I started with this morning, you may be a little perplexed on. I did something on purpose. I went backwards so that we can all go forward together. This is not the account of the birth of Jesus. That was last week's sermon, and that can be found in Luke chapter 2. But this is the before part. This is Gabriel telling Mary what's going to happen to her, to tell her why it's so important. I'm going to share with you today 3 points that God is working on in my life and hopefully in yours. We'll be using the context of the verse and spinning it to see how God works and how we need to take this reflective time of year and grow and learn from it. So my first point is say yes. If you follow my wife on any bit of social media, you may have experienced our summer of yes. She came across this in reading where we as parents, our kids will ask us something and we immediately say no. Dad, can I go to the park? No. I start to ponder and wonder, why did I actually say no and why did it come out so easy? Is it because it doesn't make sense to me? Is it because I really don't want to have to say yes and jump in a bouncy house for the 100th time this summer? No just comes out. And most of the time, I really don't have a valid excuse of why no comes out. My wife got challenged rather difficultly with this say yes, or the summer of yes. As many times I got to walk out the door to come to church to work, she would be asked by the kids, can we build a fort today? Can we have ice cream for breakfast? If she couldn't come up with a good excuse, her answer had to be yes. The pinnacle for my wife, and I will pick on her on this one, was when one of her friends asked her, so what do you think about doing a half marathon with me? I quickly smirked at her and said, it is the summer of yes. My wife, very proud of her, trained all summer long, and if you don't know, actually ran a half marathon in late October. I was very proud of her because I can't imagine doing, well, I have a hard time doing the 3.1 miles from a 5K, let alone 13.1 miles. When Gabriel came to Mary, he really didn't give her a chance to decide. He told her what was going to happen. He let her know how much of a big deal this was going to be for Mary. Mary's only thing left was to agree. When God calls us to do something, when God calls, you can look at the reasons, the many reasons to say no, or you can do something so much easier. You can simply say yes to a difficult situation or a difficult thing, even though it doesn't make sense. This last week, I got a phone call from one of my good friends. He was calling to talk about issues that were going on in his marriage and wanted just to bend my ear a little bit. We talked for a long time about what it took to be a good dad, what it took to be a good husband, what it took to be a good friend, a good employee. And yes, we talked a lot about what it's like to be good at being a Christian. You see, this is very difficult because this is different than what the world tells us to be. It's very countercultural to be those things, to be a good dad, a good husband, a good friend, a good employee, and a good Christian. But it's more often than not, it's just better to be like Mary and simply say yes. If you watch ESPN at all, you may have seen the story 30 for 30 on the list. It's a story about a guy from Australia called, his name is Sub Terry. He was challenged for the year of 2017 to do 100 nice things. I don't know how he got away with it, but he decided to take a year off and travel the world doing 100 nice things. He was challenged with this. Such things as living alone on a deserted island for a week. One of the things, because as it became more and more popular, he was on TV and was asked, one of his things said, I'm supposed to do something nice for somebody. So, Seb Terry continued on, and he asked for help on finding somebody. A man with many disabilities was brought to him. And Sub said, is there something I can do for you? The man said, I've always wanted to run a half marathon. So Sub decided that's his call. Trained and pushed this man through a half marathon. gave the guy an amazing gift. I'm not saying we should all quit our jobs. I'm not saying we should do like him and travel the world for a year. But if we made that list of doing 100 nice things or 100 things during 2018, what would be on that list? What would that look like? And are you willing to say yes to that? When God calls you, just like Gabriel to Mary, are you willing to say yes? The second point is, we need to know the difference between a slip and a fall. It's obviously winter outside, and there's ice everywhere. Oftentimes, when I step on ice, something happens. I often slip, or the worst, I fall. When I slip on ice, I'm reminded, hey, you better slow down. This is not going to end good. I usually catch it and I walk with those little baby step things to make sure that I don't fall. But if the ice sneaks up on me and I don't really see it coming, the second one happens. I fall, and often I fall hard. That's the one that really hurts. That's the one that does all sorts of damage. Gabriel led off in talking to Mary with the words, "Do not be afraid." I'm not a deep theologian, but I think that tells us something, that Mary was afraid. That during this time, some of the hardest lessons I've had to learn in my faith is, it's okay to not be okay. There are expectations put on us as Christians to never have a moment of weakness. I think of some of the great times in different ministries I've worked in. And one of those things that I kind of enjoy seeing is when somebody that I look up to makes a mistake. No, this does not make me an evil person that's sitting there going, excellent, look, they messed up. But it's more because somebody that I look up to, I can see how they've pulled themselves out of that. When I've seen Reverend Maxwell make a mistake, I get a chance to see how he pulls himself out of it and how he becomes better so that I can learn from that, so that I know that there's nothing I can do that I can't also pull myself out of. Because I'm going to fail as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a friend. I'm not going to do this on purpose, but I will tell you what, I am going to fail. And like Mary, if she would have just stayed afraid and not heeded the words from Gabriel, she would have never been able to embrace the message of what was going to happen next and the magnitude of how amazing that was going to be. The third point is understand the place God has you in. If you are here over Labor Day, on Sunday, you might have recalled a sermon that I gave about change. And it honestly was one of my favorites. And no, that's not because I'm that conceited, but it's more because it challenged me. And I'm not even kidding when I say in mere hours after that sermon, I was challenged to put my money where my mouth is and actually live up to some of those challenges. That God calls us to change even if we don't like it. So again today we're talking about change. Gabriel came to Mary in a season. This was a rather big change, right? Coming to a young teen, often people think around 13, that can be kind of rather overwhelming. Roughly 6 months earlier, he came to Zechariah and told him about Elizabeth having a son, John. This is all important because God calls us to this. And most people don't understand when God makes a call and asks you to do something, you have to do it. I love the look of winter outside. I love driving in it. But I definitely don't understand why it has to be so cold. There's a video going around on Facebook, and you may have seen this, about a man that was ready to give up. He had walked into the woods to ask God the simple question, "Give me a reason not to give up." God showed the man a fern and a bamboo tree. When God planted those, he said he gave them both water and sun. The next year, the fern shot up and covered the woods with green, but nothing from the bamboo seed. The second year, the same. The third year, fourth year, the same. And then came the fifth year. The fifth year, the bamboo seed had a little shoot, in a mere 6 months later, that bamboo tree was over 100 feet tall. You see, it needed that time to grow its root system. We can't always see what God is doing, but we are assured that God is working. One of my favorite verses in talking with a returning youth this last week, and we talked about this, was Romans 5:3-5. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Side note on that bamboo tree. If you did not know it, in its prime growing state, a bamboo tree can grow 3 feet in one day alone. That's at a rate of an inch every 40 minutes. So I reflect back to, why didn't Gabriel give the whole story to Mary? Why didn't he go through all of the details and tell Mary every last part that was going to happen? Well, see, God doesn't work that way. God knows what we can digest at one time. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with me. So I want to challenge you with something. If you don't already know this, please take this time of year to be reflective in your life. Yesterday alone, I was talking with one of my cousins who is roughly about 20 years older than me. She said, I never do a New Year's resolution because I don't want to have to change. To me, that's not a very good excuse not to be reflective of what God has to do in your life. Make sure that you're not just saying no because no is the easiest word to come out of your mouth. Actually say yes, because that's where freedom is. Realize that you're going to have slips and falls in this life. Use the slips to be a warning that God's trying to get your attention. And use the falls and use those difficult times to grow. When you take those, take some time to recover from the fall and continue to grow in who you are. Know that God has a place for such a time as this. God has a story for you and a story for me. It's in those good things, but it's also in those bad things.